Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
I'm going to start out here real quickly with a quote from Eric Butterworth from his book, Spiritual Economics. And he wrote, "The universe owes you a living." Yes, we are saying owes you a living. Note, we are not saying that the world owes you a living. Actually, the world owes you nothing. You are a creative expression of the universe with a responsibility to let your light shine. Thus, you owe the world a life. But in all the many ways in which you apply yourself in the world, the universe owes you complete support. The title of my talk this morning is Kobayashi Maru, the no-win scenario. Now, undoubtedly, you Star Trek fans out there have heard this term before. The term first appeared in the second Star Trek movie called The Wrath of Khan. And at the beginning of the movie, as the movie began, audience members were sitting and watching, and when the movie began, you saw this scenario of all of this chaos on the bridge of a starship. There was an enemy starship approaching and asking them to surrender. There were crew members running around asking, what do we do next, or looking at the captain saying, how do we handle this situation? There were sirens going off. There was noise happening, and the captain was standing frozen in the midst of the chaos. And all of a sudden, in a moment, we, the audience, see the lights go up and the noise stop and the people stop moving and everything. And we all of a sudden realize that we're watching a computer simulation, that these people on this starship were participating in a simulation, and the simulation test was called the Kobayashi Maru. This test was used to determine how well Federation cadets who are seeking to advance into positions of captain would handle a no-win scenario. Well, the particular cadet in this scenario found out that she had obviously failed the test. Then she was informed by some of her fellow cadets, oh, don't get upset about this. Everybody fails this test. But there was also a rumor out there going around that one person had actually passed the test. And that person was Admiral James T. Kirk. Well, the cadet decided to get up a little courage and go seek out Admiral Kirk and ask him if this was actually true, and if it was true, what did he do to pass the test? Admiral Kirk smiled and looked at the cadet and said to her, "I reprogrammed the computer." The cadet in astonishment said, "You what? Well, why?" And he said to her, "I don't believe in no-win scenarios, and I don't like to lose." What is a no-win scenario? It's a situation where it appears that we have no viable solution, no way out, no choice, no options, no control, or no satisfactory outcome. How many times have we found ourselves in situations that appear to be no-win situations, between that proverbial rock and a hard place? Have you ever been in a situation where you have worked in your career to reach a point of promotion, and you get this promotion, and you discover that the new boss is not somebody that you're able to communicate with very well? How many times have we found ourselves in situations where we're in a divorce and it's very difficult for the parties involved to figure out how to equally divide up the assets, how to set up schedules for visitation with the children, and how to work out their emotional conflict and sadness and anger through this process? We see these kinds of situations a ton as no-win situations. Nobody comes out of this alive. In the Bible, in the second book, 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, it tells the story of a woman who comes to the prophet Elijah in great distress. Her husband has died, and she and her two sons have been left destitute. She is in debt. She has no prospects of any sort of income. And back in those days, children could be taken by the debtors as payment. So she was screaming at Elijah, "What do I do? The debtors are going to come. They're going to take my children. I have nothing in here. How am I going to handle this? Help me." Elijah asked her to calm down. And he says, take a look around. Look around your dwelling space here and see what you have. She took a minute. She looked around. And she replied, "All I have in here is one pot of oil." Elijah was basically asking her, "Where's your consciousness? What are you thinking? What are you identifying with? Are you identifying with this prospect of lack, that there is absolutely nothing here for you? Are you taking the opportunity to stop and look and see, where is my good?" She saw only one pot of oil. She was unable to believe or even imagine how this one pot of oil could help her. The first thing we must understand is that we are magnificent, individualized expressions of all that God is. God is the source and substance of all of our supply. Our belief in this truth must be burning in the core of our being. And because God is the source and substance of all of our supply, we must believe and understand that there is no such thing as a no-win scenario. Spirit always provides. If we're facing a scenario causing us angst and fear, we get to reprogram the computer of our consciousness and remember that God is our source. So when this woman, reprogrammed her consciousness, who knows how many ideas she may be able to come up with as to how this one pot of oil can support her, can provide income, something that she can use to barter. Wayne Dyer wrote, "If you believe it will work out, you see opportunities. If you believe that it won't, You will see obstacles. The next thing that we get to remember, after reprogramming the consciousness to the truth of our relationship with God, we must have faith in the process. Faith in the process of gaining a solution to the scenario. When I was teaching religious science classes, one of the words that came up a lot from my students was the word how. So they would say, okay, well, if God is the source and substance of my supply, how am I going to get this? How am I going to get money? How am I going to find a new job? How am I going to find that perfect relationship? How am I going to find the next project that I'm working on? How? And I used to stop them after a certain point, and I would say, okay, folks, this is what we need to look at. It's our job, as magnificent individualized expressions of all that God is, to know the what in our lives. What is it we would like to experience? What is it we would like to create? What is it that we would like to accomplish? It is our job to know the what. And it's God's job to know the how. And I used to tell them, when you get into this situation where you find yourself asking the how, you got to stop and remember, when you're asking the how, you're getting in God's business. The how is God's business. And so what do? Once we recognize that we're in God's business, we get out. So what we get to recognize and accept and know is there is a process that is constantly going on for our highest and best good. And we get to trust and have faith and know that Spirit is working on it. Spirit is involved. Spirit is taking care of it. We get to continue to know the what and let the how part be up to God. We can do this by moving into prayer. And while we're in prayer, we can get to reiterate what it is we would like to see taking place in our lives. We can expect the situation to be resolved for our highest and best good. We can have faith that it is done. And we can get out of the way of God and let God handle the how. Eric Butterworth also wrote, faith is expectancy. You do not receive what you want. You do not receive what you pray for. Not even what you say you have faith in. You always receive what you actually expect. Okay, that one went over my head for a little while. And as I was growing in my spiritual awareness and in my spiritual practice, I had to really focus on this idea of having an expectation. Now, I was raised in a Southern Baptist environment, and when I discovered New Thought, it really was New Thought. I really felt in the core of my being that this idea of there being perfection in my life always, this idea of God's not going to punish me, I'm not going to get judged, I'm not going to... All of this, these were new ideas, and it has taken me, I've been in the religious science study since 1983. Anybody want to do that math? And I'm still working on it. But I had to learn to release and to let go and let God do what God knows how to do, and let me follow the guidance of Spirit and do what I know how to do. And lastly, we must take action. I know that when I'm in what appears to be a no-win situation, my first action is to go into prayer and declare what it is that I would like to see happening in my life, and then not do anything until I know what to do. A lot of people say, well, what do I do? I went into prayer. I did my treatment. I did my work. Now what do I do? And for me, that answer was always, I don't do anything until I know what to do. And Spirit will guide me in what it is I'm supposed to do next. My action is not to get into God's business of how. My action is to be still and feel the direction within me that Spirit is asking me to move. In my meditation, I remind myself, be still and know God. I grew up as one of these personalities that like to move. I like to dance, I like to sing, I like to act, I like to move. And one of the biggest lessons for me is to learn to be still. God is always working for my highest and best good. And sometimes God comes up with ideas that weren't even in my radar of consciousness. As I said, I was raised in the Southern Baptist tradition. But in 1983, by means of an assistant that worked for me when I was working for Norman Lear in his production companies in California, I was introduced to this idea of religious science. And I started to dabble in the teaching and take a class here and there. And then I was working as a human resource director. I was diagnosed with a chronic illness. And that chronic illness challenged my life at least twice. So as I was recovering, I began to have the strength to give myself permission to go out one night a week. So I chose to go to class. I chose to go study religious science. So one night a week, I would go to class. And what I discovered is that over time, I was feeling better. I was feeling spiritually better, emotionally better, physically better. My outlook on life was better. Excuse me. So after 3 years of just going to class because it made me feel better, I had enough hours and time, and I could take my exams to become a practitioner in religious science. Well, I didn't want to be a practitioner. I just wanted to go to class. But I had my friends going, oh, come on, take the test. I dare you. I did. And I found out how much I enjoyed doing prayer work for people. Then I had 2 more years of study, and I was going to class. And all of a sudden, I discover I have the hours, the time, the energy, and I'm ready to take my ministerial exams. And I'm like, I don't want to be a minister, people. I just want to go to class. And I had a couple of minister friends of mine go, oh, really? Well, I tell you what, we dare you. So I got a couple of dares, so I took the first one, and I had to sit down and take my written exams. Well, after I passed that, then I had to accept the second dare, and I had to sit down and take my oral exams. And guess what? I received a ministerial credential. Now, growing up a Baptist with a grandfather who was a Baptist minister and an uncle who was a Baptist minister and a father who was a deacon in the church for years and years and years, being a minister was not on the radar, folks. So God had an idea for me that I allowed, that I followed. I followed that direction. Dale Carnegie wrote, inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. If you are to conquer fear, do not sit at home and think about it. Go out and get busy. The universe owes us complete support. It's our job to expect our good. It's our job to strengthen our belief and our conviction in spirit. It's our job to have faith in the process. We must trust that our good is unfolding with clarity, focus, ease, and grace. So when you find yourself facing a Kobayashi Maru test, Believe that everything will work out and you will see opportunities. Have faith and expectancy, and expect only the highest and best good coming to pass via God's divine timing and God's divine order. Take action. When we become clear on our next steps by means of being still and listening to that still small voice within, take action. Spirit has got our backs. One of the lines I loved out of the movie Shawshank Redemption was, it's time to either get busy living or get busy dying. So, I like the get busy living part. And I thank you for inviting me to be here with you today. And I say, live long and prosper with God. All things are possible, and so it is. Amen. Join me now as we focus ourselves into that center of the life of God. Father, Mother God, you are our source, our guidance. We know right here and right now that there is that one power that expresses itself in and through and as each one of us, for we are magnificent, individualized expressions of all that God is. I choose to move forward in my life knowing there are no-win situations. For I know that Spirit is guiding my every step, blessing my every thought, and inspiring me in ways that are new and exciting. I give thanks for this center, the Unity of Fairfax Center, where each and every one of us gets to participate in our own spiritual growth. I give thanks for each and every individual who has dressed up and shown up today to make this service possible. And I know as each one of us says yes to the magnificence that God rolls into our lives, that we go forth being guided, directed, inspired, prospered, and blessed. I choose to release these words that I've just spoken into that divine, loving mind and heart of God, knowing they are already done and complete in that mind of God by means of each one of us here present and all of you who are here with us today. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m., or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.